Let us pray. Father, we just pray that you would help us to hear your words this evening and that we would put them into practice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously not as tall as Noel. Anyway, now I don't know whether any of you made any New Year's resolutions this year, or if you made them, how many you haven't already broken. But even if you didn't actually make any resolutions, I wonder how many of us made promises to ourselves. The promise to be better this year, better about keeping fit, about eating less junk, about reading your Bible more, or about wasting less time looking at rubbish on the internet. Anyone? No, just me then. Those were mine. But it struck me that when I was looking at this passage, that sometimes we can take the word of God as seriously as we do our resolutions. We read a passage like this, and it gives us firm and concise instructions, and that we know that they are wise and that they make sense, and this is how God wants us to live. And we do really want to do them, because we know this is what God asks of us. So we really do start out with very good intentions because we know they will benefit us, they will help us, they will help us become healthier and kinder and better and more holy people. But in the end, maybe we give them as much effort as we do our New Year's resolutions, and when we break one, we just sigh and say, oh well, there's always next year, I'll try again next year. But can we afford to keep putting it off? And what is it in us that makes us want to keep putting it off? So as we're looking at this passage, we can see that Paul is speaking to a church in Colossae, which is made up of Gentile converts. So essentially, it's very like us. And this passage can seem very modern because it is very relevant to us because the same things are a problem to us as were to them, and why Paul is addressing the similar sort of things. So I would like to suggest to us this evening that we use this passage to write ourselves a list of new resolutions, but not resolutions that are just for the beginning of the year, but these resolutions could and should be resolutions that we hold every day, that we put on every day. So, if we look at the first point in the passage, this is really the most crucial one. And if we can get this point to sink in, it will change everything. Because if we understand, and we need to understand, how much we have been changed and who we are in Christ. So, listen to these words, absorb them. Meditate upon them. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If we have committed our lives to Christ, then we have been changed in the most fundamental way. We have literally died, and we are born again into a new life. It's not as if we are wrestling the old life into an acceptable way that that God can accept, a life that God will accept. And I couldn't help thinking if you had an inflated balloon and you were trying to shove an inflated balloon back into an empty wine bottle, that's about as much use as us trying to change our old life into something that is acceptable to God. But when we surrender our lives to God, we literally become a new creation. And when he comes again, It is that new creation in Christ that will be standing alongside him. This is what the Bible tells us. This is what God's word tells us. Do you really believe that about yourself? Do you really, really believe that this is who you are now? That you are a new creation? It is when we understand that we are a new creation that it gives us the hope to know that we can keep changing to be more and more like Christ. And it is important of understanding ourselves as new creations that we can then focus on the things above and not keep on setting our minds on the things, earthly things. But it's really difficult, isn't it? Because when we read a passage like this, we should be overwhelmed by the privilege and the blessing of this. But no, we like to slip back into our old ways, our old habits. They're comfortable. But does that help us? Of course it doesn't. Why do we keep looking back on earthly things? The things that hold us, that bind us, that hurt us, that ultimately destroy us. I think sometimes we put it down to harmless sentimentality, but I think it's more to do with Satan's way of telling us lies about how much we are valued and worth to God. This passage tells us how we are valued and are worth to God. So I want to put forward that our first resolution should be, I am a new creation in Christ and I will set my eyes on him. Because as people, we're not blank canvases. We all come with baggage and we are all changing all the time. We are changed and moved by the things around us, by our family, by politics, by economics, by education. And as we grow from children into adulthood, we are changing, being changed by our environment, whether it is a good one or a bad one. We are formed by the models around us, and we take on the ideas and attitudes of others who we identify with. But even if we are surrounded by the very best role models, sometimes they too have bad habits because it's part of our earthly nature. And because we put it down to human nature, we have become a society that is very good at allowing ourselves off the hook or being very elastic about our boundaries. So I think as Christians, we need to bring ourselves with humble hearts before God and give ourselves a realistic reality check. One that involves taking off things and turning away from those things that have been put to death. So when we look at the next part of this passage, Paul in verses 5 to 11 divides the list into two types of sin. The sin of idolatry, which are those that separate us from God or replace him in some way, and our behavioral sins. So let's look at verse 5. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self. They've been divided because they are divided in our hearts. So we have the idolatry, which is in our hearts, and then we have our behavior, which shows us how we live and make us the people who we are. If it was possible to get rid of the first list, then the second list might recede a bit, but they do feed off one another. And what comes out of our mouths is how we show our true selves to each other and to ourselves. And even if we were able to hide that from ourselves, we could never hide it from God. And we've been told by this passage that he is coming back. He will come back and we will be judged by it. I think that sometimes we look at this passage and we assume that Paul is only speaking to the men because of the list that we have at the end. But I think that we are the ones that introduce the gender stereotyping here and read into it something that isn't there. This is how we let false teachers add things to complicate us reading the Bible and to confuse people from the truth. This passage tells us that Christ is all and in all. In Ephesians 5, which is a similar passage to this, has a similar warning. Paul is careful and purposeful to break down the barriers that highlight the dangers of false teaching and allowing anything that seeks to add to the gospel. And I think it's a valid warning for us for today. But each of us will have our own temptations and stumbling blocks, and we need to name them. We need to be specific. We need to have that reality check. Because when we name them, we take the power out of them, and they don't have power to hold that they hold over us. James chapter 5 says, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So I think our second resolution really needs to be that I will turn away from sinful things because Jesus is coming back. Now, you could say to me here, I thought salvation was God's free gift and not about works. And this sounds like hard work. But it's not about doing, but about being. We must change because it's not who we are. It's not who we have created to be. So who are we? Verses 12 to 14 say, therefore, as God's holy chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. We are to be children of God, his holy people who are dearly loved. So our resolution number 3 and last resolution is, therefore I will live each day as God's holy child, wearing his clothes. So as we take off the clothes, take off the things that harm us and bind us, we need to put on the things of God, and this passage highlights those. So this resolution isn't a once a year resolution or intention. It isn't even like getting dressed for a special occasion, just something that we do when we want to put on a bit of razzle. This should be something that we wear every day, dressing every day. And I would like to think that just as hopefully you would never walk out of the door first thing in the morning with no clothes on, that each day we should dress ourselves with clean, fresh, spiritual clothes. So let's just go back to our humble reality check. If we were to look at ourselves in a full-length spiritual mirror, what would we see today? Is it time to change our clothes? Do you look different from how you want to look? From how God wants you to be? Well, I have great news. It's great news. that whatever you see in that mirror, we can bring all that to God right now and commit a life, our lives to Him, or to renew our commitment to Him. Because whether it is the start of a new life, a start for this year, or just a start for today, it's time to make that resolution that we will pay attention to the things that God wants of us. We need to focus on the privilege and the blessing that only brings us freedom, and to make an effort to take off those things that bind us and harm us. So let's again remind ourselves of these three resolutions. Resolution number one is, I am a new creation in Christ, and I will set my eyes on Him. Resolution number two, I will turn away from sinful things because Jesus is coming back. And resolution three, therefore, each day, I will live each day as a God's holy child wearing His clothes. Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful that we can come to You yet again and receive Your love and blessing. Help us as we begin this new year to focus our eyes on You, casting off the things that harm us, so that each day of our lives this year will be pleasing in Your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.